Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a polished old-school DNB percussion layer with that jungle swing energy using Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it in a way that fits a ragga-driven drum and bass track without turning the whole thing into a messy breakbeat soup. This is advanced work, because in modern DNB the percussion bed is not just background, it's the engine room. The sub and reese might carry the main identity, but the percussion gives you motion, grit, attitude, and that head nod pressure that makes the drop feel alive. In a ragga elements context, that matters even more, because the drums have to leave space for vocal chops, toasting phrases, and call and response moments with the bass, while still honoring that raw jungle lineage. So the goal here is not just to make a loop. The goal is to make a tight, swingy, dusty percussion system that feels old school, but still sounds controlled enough for a modern mix. First, think in lanes, not loops. Before we even build the rhythm, set up the drum architecture properly. Create a dedicated drum group and split it into three roles. One lane is your break track, where the chopped amen or other classic break carries the main phrasing. One lane is your support track, where you'll place one-shot snares, kicks, or rim accents to reinforce impact. And the third lane is your texture track, where hats, shakers, congas, vinyl noise, and tiny percussion details can live. Keeping these separated is a huge advantage. It means you can process each role independently, automate them differently, and keep the groove breathing instead of flattening everything into one overworked loop. Route all of these into a drum bus, and set up a parallel return for grit, plus a very short reverb send for selective glue. Not a big wash, just enough shared space to make the parts feel like they belong together. Now let's choose and slice a break with character. Drop a classic break into Ableton and decide whether you want to work with simpler in slice mode, or keep it on an audio track and warp it manually. If you want fast control, simpler is the quickest route. Set it to slice by transients and start shaping the break into playable pieces. If you want more surgical detail, use warp markers or slice the break to a drum rack. For old school jungle swing, the key is not to quantize everything hard to the grid. Keep the main snare anchors tight, because that gives the listener something to latch onto. But let ghost hits drift a little, and allow some hat fragments to sit slightly ahead or behind the beat. That contrast is where the groove starts to feel human. If you're using simpler, set decay somewhere in the 120 to 250 millisecond range so the slices feel clipped, but still musical. If the break is too bright, add a low-pass filter around 12 to 15 kHz to soften the top just a bit. You want dusty, not dull. Then open the groove pool and audition a swing groove. Start subtle. In jungle, the sweet spot is usually not extreme swing. It's just enough to lean forward and breathe without sounding like a broken house loop. The movement should feel intentional, not random. Now comes the advanced part. Jungle swing is not just groove preset swing. It comes from microtiming. This is where the personality lives. Keep your primary snare on the backbeat. That's your anchor. Then shift some ghost snares slightly late, maybe 5 to 15 milliseconds. Move a few hats a touch early, maybe 5 to 10 milliseconds, to create that pull against the laid-back elements. Offset some break slices so they don't all land perfectly on the grid. You're not trying to make it sloppy. You're trying to make it feel like a living break that's pushing and pulling against itself. Use velocity as another layer of phrasing. In Ableton Live 12, clip velocity and chance are incredibly useful here. Ghost hats can sit around 25 to 55 velocity. Ghost snares can live around 35 to 70, and occasional fill notes can be given chance values between 20 and 40%, so they appear with variation instead of repeating like a robot. A good teacher trick here is to duplicate the loop and compare two versions. One tighter, more roller-focused. One looser, more jungle and ragga in the phrasing. Often the bass line will tell you which one wins. If the bass is busy, the tighter version may work better. If the bass is more spacious, the looser version can breathe beautifully. Now we reinforce the break with a clean support layer. The chopped break gives motion, but polish comes from support. Add a separate snare layer and a light hat layer. For the snare, use a short, punchy DNB snare sample. High pass it if needed around 120 to 180 Hz, so it doesn't muddy the low mids. Then add a little drum bus drive, maybe 5 to 15%. And use the transient control sparingly. Too much transient shaping can erase the attitude of the break. For hats, use a tight closed hat or a shuffled shaker. High pass aggressively, often somewhere around 300 to 600 Hz. If needed, use auto filter with a subtle envelope to keep the movement alive. The hats should support the groove, not steal the spotlight from the break. One strong old-school move is to only use the support snare on select hits. Let it reinforce the main backbeat, maybe support a ghost hit before the drop, or land on a fill into a phrase change. That keeps the pattern from sounding rigid and preserves the human feel. Next, let's shape the drum bus for weight without killing the swing. On the group, start with drum bus. Drive can sit around 5 to 20%, depending on how much attitude you need. Keep boom very low or off if the sub is already carrying the low end. Add a bit of transient if the break feels soft. Use crunch only if you need edge, not full fuss. After that, try glue compressor with a slower attack and medium release. You're usually looking for just 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Enough to glue the pieces together, not enough to crush the motion out of the loop. The groove should still bounce. If you need a touch more density, add a small amount of saturator after compression, with soft clip on and maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive. Then compensate the output so you're hearing the effect honestly. The rule here is simple. You want mastering grade roughness, not overcooked polish. Now we add the classic old school ingredient, parallel grit. Use a return track or duplicate the drum group and mangle it on a separate path. Start with a EQ8 and high pass the grit bus somewhere around 150 to 250 Hz, so you don't pollute the low end. Then add saturator, overdrive, or a little redux if the track wants more digital crunch. If you want motion, use auto filter with a little LFO or envelope movement. Blend this back quietly. Often only 5 to 15% is enough. You are not creating a distortion effect. You are adding density, age, and smoked out attitude. In a raga setting, this is especially powerful. It can make congas, bongos, and chopped percussion feel worn in like dubplate energy. It helps the break sit under vocal chops without disappearing. If the track is dark and heavy, keep this grit bus mostly mono in the low and lower mid region so the width doesn't destabilize the mix. Now let's make the percussion talk. Raga elements is all about call and response, so your percussion should answer the bass line and the vocal phrases instead of just looping mechanically. Add small percussion hits like rimshots, woodblocks, conga taps, metal ticks, or reverse hat pickups. Place them between the main drum accents and vary the velocity. Primary accents can live around 90 to 120, secondary accents around 60 to 90, and ghost taps around 20 to 50. Think like an arranger here. If a vocal chop hits on beat 1, maybe a rim answers on the end of 2, and a shaker swell leads into beat 3. That makes the percussion feel like part of the composition, not just the rhythm bed. If the bass line is busy, simplify the percussion. If the bass is sparse, you can let the top layer get more syncopated. The point is always the same. The drums should support the phrasing density of the bass and vocals, not compete with them. Now we check the low-end relationship and keep everything mono safe. Even though this lesson is about percussion, the drum layer still has to respect the sub. Use EQ8 on the group to cut unnecessary low-end rumble from non-kick elements. Pay careful attention below 120 Hz. If the break is stepping on the bass, don't carve aggressively everywhere. Instead, make a targeted cut where the sub is strongest. Also use utility to check mono compatibility. Mono the drum group and listen carefully. If the groove collapses when summed, then the stereo processing is too heavy or too wide. Keep the main break center weighted, and let width live mostly in the high percussion. A smart move here is to split the drum bus into a low mid punch bus and a high motion bus. Put the body elements on one side, and hats, top breaks, and texture on the other. That lets you process each lane more intelligently and keeps the groove fat, but readable on club systems. Now we make the arrangement evolve. A static drum loop won't carry a whole D&B tune. Arrangement is part of groove design, so automate density across the track. Open the break filter slightly during the build. Increase the parallel grit in the 8 bars before the drop. Pull back the texture during vocal heavy sections. Add a fill with reversed break slices before a switch up. Maybe automate a little reverb send on the last hit of a phrase. For example, in the intro, keep it stripped with filtered break and a bit of vinyl texture. In the first drop, bring in the full swing groove with the support snare. In a later 16-bar variation, remove one ghost hit and add a rim counterline. During the breakdown, keep just hats, shaker, and a distant break tail. Then in the second drop, bring the grit bus back harder and add a new fill every 8 bars. That kind of arrangement keeps the listener locked in, and it gives the vocals and bass room to breathe, while the drums still feel alive. Once the groove is working, commit to it. Resample the best 4 or 8 bars. This is a classic D&B move. Print the groove to audio so you can treat it like a living break stem. Once it's audio, you can warp it more precisely, reverse specific hits, chop fills out of the loop, and stop endlessly tweaking MIDI notes forever. After resampling, consolidate the best loop and make two or three variations. Keep one clean version, one dirtier version, and one version for fills. That way the percussion becomes an arrangement asset, not just a repeating clip. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't overquantize the break. Jungle swing dies when every slice is locked too hard. Don't stack too many transients on top of each other. If the support snare and hats are fighting the break, reduce them. Don't leave too much low end in the break. Keep the sub weight for the bass system. Don't drown the whole drum group in reverb. Use ambience selectively. And definitely keep checking mono, because a groove that sounds wide and impressive in stereo can fall apart in a club if it isn't phase safe.